Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
All together, please. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sabhidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tham Sijivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Prishabana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare So, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada. Text number 43, I believe. Is it correct?
Yes.
Of chapter 6, which is entitled Jnana Yoga. Please repeat. Tatratam Buddhisam Yogam Labhyate Purva. Sorry. Purva Dehikam. Yatate cha tato bhuyaha samsido kuru nandana tatra tam buddhisam yogam labhyate purva dekikam dekikam yatate Chatato Buyaha Samsido Kurunandana Tatra Tam Buddhisam Yogam Labhyate Purva Dehi Kam Yodate Chatato Buyaha Samsido Kurunandana Tatra tam buddhisam yogam Habyate purva dehikam Yatate chatato buyaha Samsido kurunandana Please repeat Tatra Thereupon Tam That Buddhism Yogam Revival of Consciousness Labhyate Gains Purva Dehikam From the previous body Yatate He endeavors Cha Also Tataha Thereafter Buyaha Again Samsidho for perfection. Kuru Nandana. O son of Kuru. Translation Srila Prabhupada. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life. And he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. O son of Kuru.
Please repeat. On taking such a birth,
on taking such a birth,
he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life. And he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. O son of Guru. Purport Srila Prabhupada. King Bharata, who took his third birth in the family of a good Brahmana, is an example of good birth for the revival of previous transcendental consciousness. King Bharata was the emperor of the world, and since his time this planet has been known among the demigods as Bharatavarsh. Formerly it was known as Ilavati Varsh. The emperor at an early age retired for spiritual perfection but failed to achieve success. In his next life he took birth in the family of a good Brahmana and was known as Jad Bharat because he always remained secluded and did not talk to anyone. And later on he was discovered as the greatest transcendentalist by King Rahugana. From his life it is understood that the transcendental endeavors or the practice of yoga never go in vain. By the grace of the Lord, the transcendentalist gets repeated opportunities for complete perfection in Krishna consciousness. Makam karochi vachalam pangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam tatra tam buddhisam yogam labhyate purva dehikam yatate cha tato bhuyaha samsidho kuru nandana. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. O Kuru, son of Kuru. So, this is part of Krishna's answer in response to Arjuna's question earlier. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith but later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Yes. So even then, last week we were discussing how the mind is chanchala himana Krishna. If you remember, we were discussing the four things. Chanchala is what? Flickering. And then there was three others. Have you committed it to memory? Huh? Ah, first one, though, agitated. The last one is obstinate or stubborn.
Flickering and stubborn.
First is flickering, then? Agitated, strong, and stubborn. It's like a child. Clean your room. No! So that's the mind. Why is the mind like that? Because of worldly mindedness or previous material conditioning. We're in this material world for not just one birth. Possibly somebody is here one birth. But generally we've been in this material world birth after birth after birth. So the mind is the reservoir of all that material activity. Habit is second nature, right? So the mind gets the reservoir of all our desires and material desires and so on, and all our habits. The mind always accompanies the spirit soul. It's interesting to note. We may change our external body, the gross body, but the mind stays with the living entity. So within the mind are all those material habits. In Sanskrit it's called swabhav, assumed nature. So And that dictates our material desire, birth after birth. It so-called evolves, you can say, changes according to activity, association, so on. And it's called samskars, impressions. So if you're a thief in this life, you may tend to be a thief in your next life. So, if you're a good person in this life, you may tend to be a good person in your next life. If you're a dog in this life, then you may certainly become a dog in your next life. So in this way, the material conditioning is acting on the spirit soul. However, if you become a transcendentalist, you're declaring war on that. You're declaring war. What is the root of material conditioning? The root of material conditioning is a rebellion against the Supreme Lord. I don't accept the supremacy of the Lord. I'm going to act independently. I'm going to pursue enjoyment. Okay, here's the material world. You can forget me. You can chase the will of the wisp of material enjoyment. Of course, we don't say there's no enjoyment, but we do say that it is not fulfilling because we are spiritual in nature. So therefore, after many, many, many lives of unfulfilled activity, never really becoming satisfied, even as a devata, a demigod in heaven, they do enjoy, materially speaking, but it's not fulfilling. So then the living entity, if he is fortunate, he gets some sadhu or some spiritual association, and by that association he starts to consider, maybe there's something other than material life. That association is the touchstone, the sadhu, the person who is already well established in spiritual practice. And he can inspire the living entity to try some spiritual practice. And we see that was the effect of Srila Prabhupada and the effect of all sadhus, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, all the acharyas, all the unmentioned great devotees. By their association, they inspire something other than material endeavor. They give the seed of devotion, the bhakti lata bij, which is composed of shraddha, faith. Oh, there must be something to spiritual life. People for hundreds and millions of years have been writing about this entity called God. This sadhu seems to be full of knowledge and very blissful. There are so many shastras everywhere in the world. There's talk about some supreme being that's the source of everything. So this is the fertile ground of faith. So then, okay, let me try. So then somebody starts in this modern context chanting Hare Krishna, or they go to the forest and they chant Om Namo Bhagavate Narayan or Vasudev, or they go to some Durga Puja and they pray to Durga, please, and they get some reciprocation. So their faith, they see that there's something in spiritual endeavor other than just material endeavor. So as they progress, there becomes a tension. Because the old material habits, the impressions within the subtle material body, mind, intelligence, false ego, they become challenged. Why are you going to the sadhu? You used to take me to the disco. Why are you chanting all the time? Before you used to enjoy in the disco your friends. Why are you talking about God all the time? What about politics? Don't you know that politics is important? So this sets up a tension. So of course, that's the struggle of spiritual life. Therefore, Lord Brahma, when he appeared on the top of the lotus petal, he was considering, what is this? I'm here. What's my source? This was the question. What's my source? So everyone can consider that. Lord Brahma, the most potent being in one sense between in this material world, he's considering, I'm not the source of myself. What is the source? So the answer was given, tapa. You want to know the source from where you have came, you want to know who is your creator, then perform tapa. So that means tapasya or austerity, which Prabhupada variously defines, but basically it means voluntary control of the material mind and senses, the gross body and the mind. So generally in the material world we're letting things go with the flow, as they say, especially nowadays, the demoniac civilization, they say, oh, just go with the flow, marry a man if you're a man, marry a woman if you're a woman, have sex with a tree if you like, do whatever you want, be free, don't worry about the family, just do whatever you want. This is the propaganda. Oh, it's not a laughing matter, it's actually what's going on in the world. There's a concerted attempt to break down the family unit, to turn everyone into like a mindless, obedient serf of the state and the moneyed class that run it, the demoniac. So this is the challenge of spiritual life. Are you ready to perform tapasya? Are you ready to give up the entreaties of do what you want in the material world that's coming externally from this Kali Yuga society and also coming from your previous material samskars, your impressions? Are you ready to fight that? So Lord Brahma, he understood tapa means to control the mind and body. So he sat on the lotus petal, a lotus flower, and he fixed his mind in a sense of inquiry upon what is my source, what is the ultimate, what is the supreme, what is Brahman? Because the source is the supreme, he's the origin of everything. And then by the grace of Krishna, after so much meditation and concentration on the source, he was enlightened, and we have the Brahma Samhita. It is the description of the spiritual world, the material world, and so on and so forth. Durga Dham, we're in Durga Dham. Then above that there is Mahesh Dham. Above that is Hari Dham. Above that is Golok. He saw everything laid out, all the personalities involved. But he had to perform tapasya. So what is tapasya? That is not so difficult to understand. It means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Yes, it's supported by regulative principles, but they in themselves are not the positive alternative. Yeah, there are many people who are vegetarian, and many people who don't have illicit sex, many people who don't gamble, many people that don't take intoxication, but that won't give you Krishna consciousness. What will give you Krishna consciousness is hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Hearing and chanting. It's the positive actions that give you realization. The negative, the niyama, the observances, they will set a good field, they will set a fence against distraction, so they must be included, but it is the positive application to hearing and chanting. And then Krishna, didami buddhi yogam tam. What's that verse? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti borvakam. Yogam tam yenamam upiyam tite. So Krishna is the ultimate guru. If we apply ourselves, our consciousness, to Krishna's lotus feet, in that mood, you're my supreme lord, you're my source, then he gives enlightenment. He will make all arrangements. And at the same time, by practicing that, under the order of the spiritual master, we automatically give up material distraction. But here, as Arjuna intelligently says, what about somebody who's doing that, but then somehow or other, due to worldly mindedness, because this is the point of today's section, verse, what about those people that have trouble, right? And we know Prabhupada initiated more than 5,000 people, of course many continuing, but many went off into the material world. You may know many yourself. Well, here is a guarantee by Krishna that we should not misunderstand or misuse. We shouldn't think, oh yes, I'll try a bit, but then I'll go back to the material world. Because, what's that verse? Nahabra krama nashosti pratyavaya navijate svalpam apyasidamasya. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. Trahito maha to bayat. And if you get some pious credits or some spiritual sukriti, some realization, then you'll be saved from trahito maha bayat. And Prabhupada explains that, that trayate maho, that great fear that you'll be delivered from, trayate, is the idea you'll fall into the animal species. So it's interesting to note that the story here is about Jad Bharat, right? In the purport, Prabhupada mentions Jad Bharat. Previously he was a deer, previously he was Ma Bharat. So, but he was a deer for one lifetime. So Trahate Mahatobayat, we should understand, means to fall into the animal species. There are 400,000 types of humanoid. And there are 8 million categories of animal species. So many plants, insects and so on. So if you fall into that, it may be a long, 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 long time before you come back to human life. And you may think your dog has got a nice time, but actually, generally, if you look at the animal kingdom, what is the Bhagavatam say? Jivo jivasya jivanam. The general rule in this material world is that one living entity is food for the other. So that means, what does it mean? It means that generally in the animal species, you don't die a natural death. You get eaten, chewed, killed. You become somebody's breakfast or lunch or supper. If you look at material nature, you may think, oh, it looks so nice, all those flowers and those trees, and look at the ocean, the mountains. But actually, if you look with the eye of knowledge, you will see that it's just a mass of living entities eating each other. Try that for your meditation in the morning walk. You will gain detachment. So, but Krishna says, if you perform some spiritual activity, then I'll save you from that. Maharaj Bharat, you know the story, right? You're all experienced devotees. He gained affection for a deer, and he thought of the deer at the time of death. And so he became a deer, but he remembered by the grace of Krishna. And so he used to, it is stated in the Vedas, he used to sit in the forest next to the sages when they were discussing Krishna consciousness. And the sages, they were very realized, it was previously Mahabharata. Because sages, rishis, they are not in illusion, they are given knowledge by the grace of the Lord. So, that is a special case. Then next life, he didn't want anything to do with material affection and material society. Very similar to Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Right? His father was Veda Vyas. But as soon as he took birth, he just thought, I'm not staying here. This is bad association. They'll treat me like their son and give me all this material affection. So no, I'm going off. I want to find somebody to whom I can describe the glories of Krishna. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So that is the work of a devotee. But those that are not on that platform, they have to be careful. They have to be careful. Worldly-mindedness, it can, just like the sadhu can provoke spirituality, material association will provoke material endeavor. Because we are tatastha shakti, we are spirit soul, and we are affected by that which we associate. So therefore, sadhu sangha sadhu sangha sava shastra koi, lava mata sadhu sangha sava siddhi hoi. So we should always keep in the association of sadhu. And therefore Prabhupada created ISKCON for that purpose. So that like-minded souls could gather together and satatam kirtayanto mam yadantasya, we could all hear and chant. And by Prabhupada's grace, he's given so much knowledge, so much to hear and chant, so much guidance in his books. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, just a vast quantity of knowledge and bhakti gyan, so that we can just hear and chant, and within association. So here anyway, the details. Krishna says, yes, okay, if you fall down through worldly mindedness, there's three places. You won't go into the animal species except in a special case, but you'll, first of all, you'll be born in a pious family, a religious family. You'll gravitate to people who are pious, moralistic, have some conception of God, and want to live in a pious, God-fearing way. Then he says, aristocratic or mercantile family. So that doesn't mean nowadays, because most of the aristocrats are degenerate devil worshippers, and especially in the West anyway. But that meant in the Vedic days, the Kshatriya, the pious Kshatriya or the pious Vaishya families. But then he says the third one, however, if you're very fortunate and you have good development, then you will take birth in a family of transcendentalists. So the special quality that I think Krishna mentions, that they're above the ritualistic activities. They're above karmakanda. A transcendentalist is not so much interested in the priestly class and rituals and this and that. He's interested in the actual realization of transcendence. There's a section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's about a poor, it's an allegorical story. There's a poor man or a poor young man, and he meets an astrologer. And the astrologer says, well, according to all signs and conjunctions, you're actually a very wealthy person. Why are you wandering penniless? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you. Your father has kept a great treasure for you. And it's buried in this place. In the old days, right? Can't trust the banks nowadays anyway. But people used to bury their wealth or plaster it into the wall, something like that. So then when the old man died, everyone knocked down the wall and was trying to find the gold. They're still doing it nowadays, I believe. Anyway, so he said, the astrologer said, look, your father's kept a great treasure for you. Go to that place of birth and dig in the eastern side. Don't go to the southern side. Southern means dakshina, right? That means, cause that don't go through the ritualistic process. Dakshin means the Brahmins or the caste Brahmins, they want some dakshin. Oh yes, we'll do this yajna, we'll do this and that, but you'll pay. And don't go to the north or south, there's lots of mosquitoes and animals, they'll bite you there. That means impersonalism and so on. But dig a little bit on the eastern side, which is the side of bhakti, and you'll very soon get your treasure. So this is the point, that it's easy to perform bhakti, and the fruit is very rapid. Bhaktya mam abhijananti. But the problem is that pulling of the material conditioning. So that means that you have to be very proactive in your Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. You all know that, right? You're all devotees. And you have to follow regulative principles. But even if you, remember we were talking last week, even if you can't follow regulative principles, then you should work for Krishna. And that will purify you. We discussed this last week. So these are very important points. It's a guarantee, because Krishna, 15th chapter, Matak Smritya Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. So even if you are not successful in this life, then Krishna will wake you up. It's not directly mentioned in today's verse, to this transcendental endeavor, rather than just being pious or ritualistic and giving material charity and this and that. If you're actually a transcendentalist, that means you want to realize the absolute truth, not just be materially pious. You, like Lord Brahma, he realized the absolute truth. So you have to draw the distinction between mundane religiosity, which should not be rejected ultimately, because it does purify human society, but we have to understand that the real endeavor is to realize the Supreme Lord directly and personally. And so that is done by the grace of Krishna, Yenam. But he also reminds us from the previous life. And many of you, right, you're all devotees, you must have your own memories on this point, right? There came a point in your life where you thought, I'm not really interested in the material world. I mean, I don't want to talk about myself, that's too ego. But I was definitely like that. I remember when I was at school, about the age of that young lad, they asked, who is your hero? You know, somebody from history that you admire. And I couldn't, it was a Catholic school, grammar school, you know, high academics and all monks teaching us. So I wrote, I couldn't think of anyone that I admired, that I wanted to emulate. So I wrote down Mao Zedong. I thought that'll freak them out. So generally, huh? Sorry? No, I didn't get any feedback. They probably just thought, oh well, never mind, he's 12 years old. We'll indoctrinate him. So, the thing is, by the grace of Krishna, just like if you want to enjoy the material world, Krishna will remind you how to enjoy the material world, but if you're perform spiritual activity, he'll push you in that direction. It says here, again and again, all right? So Arjuna was worried, what happens, you know, if you don't succeed materially and you're not succeeding spiritually, what happens? So Krishna says, don't worry, one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Yes. Or if he takes his birth in a family birth transcendentalist, that's the best. Because if you take birth in a family that is actually transcendentalist, that means, you know, they're meditating and performing yajnas to realize Krishna directly. They're not kisnishta adhikaris, just, you know, trying to gain something from their devotion, but they want to realize Krishna. Then that is the best. Like I say, Prabhupada, yes, look, here it is, next verse. By virtue of his divine consciousness, he automatically becomes attracted to yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above, yes, the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. So that ritualistic principle, it refers to moral behavior, giving in charity, being a good person. We don't discard that, of course. But the real point of spiritual life is not to be a good materialist in the mode of goodness or something and give in charity, but it is to realize the Supreme Lord directly and personally within the heart. So, how do you do it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But like I always say, you must get the right Siddhanta. You must get the right understanding. Right? Krishna, if you study the purports of the great Acharyas, then Krishna will give you the intelligence. And when your conception is correct of Krishna, what is the spiritual world, then your bhajan is very, bhajan means worship, is very powerful. If you are under Kusidanta, you have misconceptions about what the relationship is with God, between the soul and God, and you don't know what Krishna is really. Because the whole process is janma karma tame divyam, is to realize the spiritual world, to realize Krishna in actuality, tatvata. Not through imagination, but tatvata. So the great acharyas, they've given the tattva understanding, the true understanding. So if we focus on their words, their descriptions, and so Prabhupada is, you know, so wonderful, all his wonderful descriptions and elucidations, if we focus our intelligence on that, and we chant Hare Krishna, and we stay with devotees, and we avoid bad association, then in one lifetime we can go back to Godhead. And the same thing is said in the Harinam Chintamani, chapter 13, the final chapter, because sometimes people say that, oh, Prabhupada said we go back in one lifetime, but maybe the astrologer said otherwise, or this and that. Well, why they put the astrologer's words above Prabhupada, I'll never understand. If you want to be a great astrologer, you just look at somebody's hand and say, if you chant Hare Krishna, everything's great. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, everything's bad. 50 rupees. You can say it for everyone, you'll never be wrong. So, but the thing is, in the Harinam Chintamani, Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the first part, it's a very important book actually, I recommend everyone to read it, he gives how to overcome the offenses, because it's when we have Shudanam, then we gain direct realization of the spiritual world. So he gives how to overcome the offenses, and then in the final chapter he explains that if somebody just studies Vaishnavism but never really applies himself, then yes, birth after birth, from hundreds of lifetimes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he can take another birth, another birth, another birth, in another Vaishnava family, and they'll take you to the temple, and you'll see Krishna, and you may chant Hare Krishna, and you may even take diksha from somebody, and then you chant Hare Krishna, but then you watch television every night, and then you get a job in this place, and then next life you also take birth in another family like this and that. And this Bhaktivinoda is making the point, this can carry on for hundreds of lifetimes. But then he says, however, if somebody becomes determined and decides, in one life I am going to realize Krishna and the spiritual world and thereby go back to Godhead, then he can do it in one life for sure. So this is a very important point to understand. Don't think that there's anything holding you back other than this lack of application, right? If you're a transcendentalist, you understand this point. If you're still pushed in here by material formulas, the astrologer said this, he said that, I can't do it, maybe this, maybe that. No, if you have a little spiritual understanding and you have faith in what the acharyas say, and Prabhupada said it 100 times, right, Mataji? Finish up your business in this lifetime and go back to Godhead. And that doesn't mean just Prabhupada, everybody. There's nothing holding you back. Don't think, oh, he's got this diction, and I've got that, and this and that. No, the only thing, this is not mentioned in the whole Bhagavad Gita. The only thing is your sincerity. You understand? How did Dhruva Maharaj see Krishna? Because he was sincere. Even though he was materially motivated. Now we're studying in Bhagavatam. Who is that? Chitraketu. He chanted. He gave up almost eating and he chanted the mantra given by Narada Muni. In less than a month he became greatly realized. But interesting to note though, he still remained the king of the Vijayadharas, and then he progressed from there. And so throughout the Bhagavatam, and there we are at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, right? He got instructed by the Bhaktivedantas, and he followed their instructions, and then Krishna came and took him. So we should not think that that just is, that's the Bhagavatam, that's the stories of old and yore. Doesn't apply to me. Where does Prabhupada, where do the acharyas say these stories are just stories that don't apply to you? No, these stories apply to you. And we see in the Bhagavatam all those devotees that reached perfection, they were determined. Right? What are those six things? You're all learned devotees. Yes, go ahead. Enthusiasm.
Which means that
enthusiasm, patience, six things.
Enthusiasm, patience,
endeavor,
determination,
confidence, and acting according
and
to
spiritual
injunction. Yeah, satovritte, acting according to regular principles. So Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Instruction, he explains it all. It's all according to your endeavor. Don't think there's anything else. Krishna's within the heart and he's ready to reciprocate. Yayatam mam prapadyante. So, also I remember reading in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's very clear on this point. He says, Krishna is very scrupulous. On what point? That according to your surrender, he will reciprocate. It's not that somebody is, really following all principles and chanting and following a Kodaji and studying 2 hours a day and Krishna doesn't reciprocate. and another person is, you know, hanging out in the MVT restaurant paying 500 rupees for a pizza and missing Mangalarti because his belly's swollen up with undigested cheese, and he's getting the mercy. No. Krishna is very scrupulous. It's like what you put in, what you offer to Krishna, he will reciprocate. Yetam, all of them as they surrender. So it's up to you. He reciprocates. He's God. He has to be neutral. But also he sends Baladev, Guru Shakti. He sends the sadhus to try, but he himself, that's why he likes to be Baladev or Lord Nityananda. He doesn't have to follow rules and regulations. He just give mercy out freely. So, anyway, these are different points. But Krishna is always ready to take the living entity back. But he doesn't want to interfere with your independence, your choice. So that is the tapasya, to choose Krishna. And even if we have trouble, then we should, you know, even if we miss Mangalarti because we went to MVT and ate a horrible pizza, we should still keep endeavoring. Right? It's just opened up. Yeah, they overcharged me last time. I'm getting my own back. No. It's a kind of negative advertisement. Anyway, I can't afford it anyway, so I don't go there. So, anyway, the thing is, Krishna is ready to take you back to Godhead. It's not an exclusive club. You just have to fill in the application form, right? Like Lord Brahma, like Chitraketu, like Dhruva Maharaj, like now we'll be doing Prahlad Maharaj next canto. So, in this material world, people are all very enclosed, secret societies and groups and cliquism. But in the spiritual world, the door is open. So, this is what Krishna is telling Arjuna here. Don't worry. And of course he's telling everyone through Arjuna that don't worry, those that do good will never be overcome by evil. So, but we shouldn't then think, you know, become lax. We shouldn't think, okay, if not this lifetime. Because why do we want to be born again in a womb and have to learn to walk? And then go to school and then try to, you know, learn how to hold a pen again. All these horrible things in this material world. Better to get your spiritual body and just live eternally in transcendence. Right? Anyone disagree? You're all devotees. But we have to, okay, I'm fired up. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to, the door is open, right? Any questions? Yes, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. As you were saying about that, the pious, they work in pious families where you can get opportunity to serve Krishna and Vishnu. Prabhupada once he gave example of Narakmuni and Prahlad Maharaj. They were not born in any pious family. Narakmuni, he was Sudra, and Prahlad Maharaj was born in demonic family. But they got opportunity to serve Krishna because the Krishna consciousness in the heart of everyone is to be awakened. So, this is the one. Can you say something?
Yeah, well, that's not the only principle. The ultimate principle is like there, Narada Muni. So if you read that section, and I listened to a lecture by Prabhupada a few days ago, he said, why was Prahlad, you know, during the school break, telling them to chant Hare Krishna and all that? And So Prabhupada said, because Narada Muni, he was, he had the association of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a bit of a wild card as far as the material world is. He's always popping up and telling people, huh? He got in trouble with his father, Lord Brahma. He said, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to be a Prajapati. So the thing is, the ultimate principle is, like I said, Sadhu Sangha. Because that will inspire you. Touchstone. Namani Chintamani. Sadhu is like a touchstone. We see that with Prabhupada, right? Prabhupada went to the West and everyone became interested because he was a powerful sadhu. So, that answers your question?
You said that this also, this Westerners, they are from religious family, but when Krishna consciousness is in them, when I spoke to them and they were attractive and they got Krishna consciousness.
Yes. The touch of the sadhu. Mahatsevam dwara mahori muktes. The sadhu is the door of liberation. So, Krishna is making the point here, yeah, you take birth in a pious family because you've got good credit. You understand? Now that means in previous life you may have had sadhu sangha. What's that verse? Brahmananda paramate kona bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi bhai bhakti latabe. You're wandering in this universe, but then somehow or other you get touched by the sadhu. And he puts the seed of devotion. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Latabi. So that is the sadhu, is the guru. He's the touchstone. It doesn't mean just Diksha Guru, it means somebody who inspired you. Just like Bilva Mangala Thakur, Chintamani. But they, as Prabhupada explains, the guru spoke through Chintamani. You know, he was climbing the, you know, she was a courtesan. He was a rich fellow and he went there in the big storm. You all know the story. And she said, well, you're interested in this bag of stool. Just imagine if you had applied this endeavor towards Krishna. But still, he mentions Chintamani as his guru. He doesn't say, oh, that was Guru Shakti talking to me. And Chintamani, she can go to hell. No, he says, that is Chintamani. Because she must have had some blessing from the Supreme Lord also. So Krishna is well disposed to everyone. It's hard for us to understand. Because this material world, the place of envy, people are not well disposed to each other. But Krishna and Guru, they're all well disposed to everyone. So it is that association we have to meditate upon.
Hare Krishna, thanks for the very nice class. But in the beginning you said, the dog becomes a dog, thief becomes a thief.
Sorry?
You said, dog in the next life will become a dog. Thief will become a thief.
No, I said, if you like a dog, you become a dog. You may become a dog, I think I said,
okay.
May.
Controversial for me at least because as a dog if you become a dog you are serving your sinful activities.
Yeah, well that's people without bhakti sukriti
and but the dog he served his sinful activity, he served as a dog, but either he goes down or he goes up.
I don't follow your question. As, according to your mentality, you'll get your next birth. That was the part of the question.
Okay.
The
you
class.
Take, you, then, that means you serve your sinful activity.
Huh?
If you take a birth, as what you're thinking, then and you go down as an animal, you have served your sinful activity.
How do you mean you've served your sinful activity? I don't...
You have done a sinful activity, you have gone down, you have become a dog.
Yeah.
you become a dog. And then when you are served it, he is just serving it. He's serving sinful activities. He has nothing to do.
Serving? I don't understand what you mean. Serving your sinful activity.
He's paying for it.
He's getting the result, yeah.
He's getting the result. He's paying for it. He has paid for it. And then how does he become a dog again? He goes up, simply thief. He's doing a sinful activity. He's done a sinful activity. How does he become a thief again? He will come go down or he will go up. If he's doing some sinful activities, he will go down. How can he become a thief again?
He may want to be. Well, you
because as a human being, you are independent.
I'm not finding the logic in your statement. But the thing is, if you become a dog, then you're not entirely purified. In your next life, you may become a tiger.
You may become a tiger, but not as
a dog. Maybe a dog eaten by a tiger, so at the time of death, you think tiger.
Yeah,
you become a tiger.
How does he become a dog again? That's
well, you mean a human.
A human. Thief also. He is doing a sinful activity. He will go down. How will he become a thief again?
It's all confused. I don't...
But doesn't Bhagavad Gita say that 8.5 Andhakalecha maam evam smaranam muktva kalevaram in the next local...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whatever you remember at the time of death, you'll become. But also, it's not just up to you. Material nature will also act upon you. If you cultivate the mentality of a dog, very territorial, always sniffing around, then you may become a dog.
You can never come out of the dog.
Huh?
You can never come out of the dog.
That's what you're not understanding. No, but once you're a dog, then you burn off that pop that brought you to that position. Just like, say you're a thief in this world, they'll put you in Tihar jail. And then after 5 years, they'll let you go, right? Because they think, or they hope, you've learned your lesson. So through pop, or dog-like mentality, dog-like endeavor, dog-like behavior, you become a dog. But then you may burn that off, that pop. You understand?
There's also a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which explains that if you're not careful, then you'll fall into the material pool.
Yeah.
Again. No matter what. So if you're going to behave in a bad way, then you're just because you attain the human life doesn't guarantee you anything at all. You have to make use of it.
Yeah.
You have to make good use of it.
There's many statements in Shastra that if you get a human body, it's like you've won the lottery.
Yeah, well, you win the lottery, but then, you can lose the money too.
Yeah.
So
that's it. Many people actually, they don't know how to use their money. So they just die after 5 years, a heroin addict or something.
Karma, and then they have to send them back to scratch zero again.
Yeah.
So, and if you
it's very complicated. Yeah, if you act like an animal, you become an animal.
Oh yeah, what's that story Prabhupada used to say? Again,
you become
a mouse.
Yeah, again,
you become proud. Or
yeah.
And then you lose your...
You see, the pious people, they understand, I shouldn't be sinful. They have some idea of pap and punya. So they want to perform punya. But some people are so fallen, they can become psychopathic, serial killers. They lose all sense. So they go down into hell. And they suffer according, just like in the material world, for example, to illustrate. You're a criminal, so they put you in front of the judge. And he says, okay, according to your crimes, you've got 10 years. The next person gets 2 years. So everyone is suffering in the material pool in accordance with their own criminal activity. You understand? So you may become a dog, and then you become a tiger, you may become a human again. Or you may become, you know, a bug in the slime, you know, you might become a microbe.
There will be change always. This is what I'm trying to say. After your activities, either you go down or you go up.
Well, generally, you're always working your way up because you're...
An animal, yes, dog is...
Huh? Sorry?
As an animal, dog has nothing to do. He is just paying for his activity.
You're repeating yourself. We already discussed this. But then when the pup is burnt off to some extent, he'll get another birth accordingly. We've already discussed that. Yes?
So now what is the solace for we devotees?
Sorry?
What is the solace for we devotees?
What is the what?
What is the destination of we devotees?
Well, that's what we're discussing the whole class.
Fear determined.
Huh?
Still, do we get a new birth in another Vaishnava family?
Well, I thought I'd just spent the last hour talking on these points. No, in accordance with your development spiritually. But the whole point is try to become fully developed spiritually. Try to realize Krishna. But you see, in the Bhagavatam, like I said, Chitraketu, he became Vidyadharis, then he went from here to there, Jadvarat went here to there. So it's all very individual. Whether you're suffering from pap or bhakti sukriti, Krishna will order things, yeah?
Prabhu, you mentioned Jaiva Dharma. I think in chapter 8, I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's chapter 8, it is described that actually all our activities serve one purpose, and that is to attract mercy. And when that the final mercy is actually given by Bhakti Devi herself. And when that happens, then we develop real relish and real realization. How does that process actually occur? Bhakti Devi is a person. How does she interact with us at that point?
Well, Krishna is Bhakti Devi is manifestation of Krishna's mercy. So Bhakti Devi, yes. Prabhupada writes, it's in the beginning of one chapter in Krishna book, Krishna has many, many qualities, but for the sadhaka, and you're talking of the sadhaka, not all activities attract mercy, sinful activities don't. But in a sense, that's mercy, to become a dog, because then you're improved, right? The mercy of the government may be giving you a medal for being a good servant, or it may, the mercy of the government may be to put you into the prison. So how do we get that mercy? Is that what you're saying? How do we get...
How does she actually enter into our hearts, into the heart of us, the soul?
Well, that's there. Or tesham satata yuktanam. If you are devoted to Krishna, then she's attracted to that devotion because she's a devotee. Just like if you have a good student, say you're a music teacher, and that you see this student is really trying, then you try to help. So Bhakti Devi reciprocates with your endeavor. I mean, isn't that simple to understand? And also the thing is too, now that there's that verse also, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sarakabanai. The Krishna Prem is within the heart, within the soul. But by hearing and chanting, Shravanadi, like I say, the positive actions of bhakti, then Sudachitte, first thing is, the mind becomes purified. And then Karide Udai, then Prem wakes up.
In Harinam Chintamani, it's described that Bhakti Devi descends.
Well, that's figurative, isn't it?
Is it figurative?
Yeah, because the spiritual world is not restricted by what we consider up and down. That's figurative for our material understanding. She's in transcendence, so generally people think that that's somewhere up. But actually, transcendence is everywhere. It's up, down, sideways. It's in your heart.
So,
but descends means it's coming. The superior is blessing the inferior in that sense.
So, the reason that we actually enter the material world from the marginal Tathareka is that at that point we didn't have the mercy of Bhakti Devi. We didn't look towards her.
Well, we awaken from Susupti and we choose service or surrender. Service to ourselves or surrender to the Supreme Lord.
So it's merely an awakening. That,
huh?
That description describes the awakening of the spirit soul. That descent of Bhakti Devi describes the awakening.
Well, oh, well, in that sense, Bhakti Devi responds just like I say, Yeyutama Prabhu. Bhakti Devi will be attracted by your endeavor. She won't come to you unless you are endeavoring. So it's all based on your choice. You understand? If that's your question, if you pray to Bhakti Devi, who is ultimately Radharani, Shakti, then she will be attracted. Yes, oh, you want some mercy. It's stated in the Shastra, we were at Uchagram, the birthplace of Lalita Shakti, and Dinabandhu, he was reading from the Shastra there, and he was talking, quoting about Lalita Devi. She's like the guru of Radharani, you know, she's like a few days older. She's always protecting Radharani. Dinabandhu said that anyone that comes to Vrindavan and wants to render service to Krishna, then Lalita Shakti immediately goes to that person. So this is the whole point I'm trying to get across. That Krishna, Bhakti Devi, Baladev, Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all reciprocate with your desire, your activity. Because Krishna has given us free will, independent choice, will, desire. He doesn't interfere with that. He may give us a hint here and there, conscience and this and that and so many circumstances. But Bhakti Devi will come to you when she sees that you want to be a bhakta. Simple as that. Right? But there again it is said too that if you pray to Krishna, that's the potency of vandanam, you know, offering prayers. And you will see that also in the song book you read, Prathana by Narottam Das Thakur, is calling out for mercy. So that in itself is bhakti, the desire for mercy. What is that? Lord Nityananda has opened the marketplace of the holy name and he's selling the holy name, but not for paisa, not like the pizza in the MVT. The holy name is lobta, desire. So we are desiring entities, are we not? For many, many lifetimes we've been desiring dhanam, janam, sundaram in the material world. So we have to now hanker for Krishna consciousness. We have to control our hankering propensity and think. And that means by association. If you read Prabhupada's books, good sadhus, read Jiva Dharma, then you start to think, oh, that would be really nice to become eternally situated. It would be nice to realize Krishna. So by the touch of the sadhu, you become inspired. It's possible. Huh? So when you have the idea it's possible, then you will endeavor. But if you think it's just, oh, it's out of touch, it's not possible. You understand? That's why I'm always saying, you have to realize your own potency. Don't get this Messiah syndrome, right? Think that some Messiah is going to come out of the cloud and save the world, or save you, or some politician stands up there, vote for me and I will reduce taxes and give you all jobs and 24-hour electricity. And everyone, oh yeah, I'll vote. No, you have Arjuna was told that stand and fight. Now I've told you, Krishna says to him, everything, but now you, what do you decide? You see? So this is the point. Now in the modern world they all try to make people stupid and feel impotent. Oh yes, save me. Dear politician, the Messiah will come. He's been coming for 2,000 years, he's not here yet. No, be your own Messiah. You understand? That's what Krishna tells Arjuna. Right? If you want something doing, do it yourself. Right? That's what my father told me.
I beg to differ. The Messiah was Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada...
Messenger. Well, actually, you know, the original word Messiah comes from the Judaic tradition. And Messiah was actually, their idea was, a military leader that would lead them back to the Holy Land. That's their conception.
That's what Prabhupada did. He set up a whole military force, basically speaking. Armed with knowledge.
Yes. Yeah, but I hope you understand my point.
I understand your point, but actually the point is that Prabhupada created a system where people understand that they have to apply themselves, and they can do it. They don't have to wait for somebody else.
Yes, yes. So that's the real message.
He gave the example. If he could do it, anybody could do it. And he actually said like that.
How do you mean?
He gave the example of what you have to do to go back to Godhead. So if he gave the example so that we understand that it's humanly possible to do something like this. It's not impossible.
So you're agreeing with me then?
Yeah. So.
And you're agreeing with Krishna in the Gita.
Right?
This is the whole point. So my point was, it's that we shouldn't be passive. You understand? We should be proactive. Right? Because if you're in the kitchen, you have to be... It doesn't mean the dinner's coming, does it? You can have the kitchen, you can have all the ingredients, but unless you get it together, there's no dinner. You have to cook the dinner yourself. So Prabhupada's giving everything, or the acharyas are giving everything, but we have to do the endeavor. Right? Is that correct? What are you saying? Side issues? Disagree? Huh?
If you want to make chapatis, you have a certain recipe, and if you don't follow the recipe, then you don't get it.
Yeah. So you may have knowledge. Yeah, you have the knowledge.
Because
so the recipe is Shravanam Kirtanam, but if you don't Shravanam Kirtanam, right? But sometimes people, it'll come automatically. You understand? If you're in the kitchen, it doesn't mean to say dinner will come automatically, right?
I was just trying to make a point and ask a question, because I've also read that sadhana never becomes bhakti. Bhakti always remains pure. Shuddha bhakti is shuddha bhakti. Sadhana is
You should read. You should read Jiva Dharma, chapter 39.
Given to us in reciprocation for our sadhana.
Yes, but sadhana is a form of pure bhakti. If you read chapter 39, it describes all the missions that Lord Chaitanya gave. So one of the missions was given to Gopal Bhatta in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And one of the points was that to establish that even Vaidhi Bhakti is transcendental activity. But it's bhakti in the lesser realized state, but it is pure. If somebody is following the rules of sadhana bhakti, he's acting in pure devotion. This is one of the points that Sat Kriya Deepika also, Gopal Bhatta explains that. You can't draw, you see, pure devotion. What is pure devotee? That's also defined by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says it's in Manashiksha, the first sloka, Manashiksha, his commentary. He says, who is a pure devotee? A pure devotee is that person whose goal is pure devotion. Understand? He may not be fully purified, but he has conceived pure devotion and he wants to come to that realized platform. He's a pure devotee. It's not that a pure devotee is just the Mahabhagavat or the Paramahansa. But the pure devotee is somebody whose goal is pure devotion. This is what Bhaktivinoda says. And that is very fitting. And very logical, actually, because his desire is pure. Understand? It's not that pure devotee is just the is Sukadeva Goswami. Everyone who wants to be a pure devotee, he is a pure devotee. But they may not be in the developed position. Just like everyone who is in college, say music college, and they're practicing, they're all musicians, but some may be very master musicians, very accomplished, but they're all trying to become musicians, so they're all musicians. You can't say, think of it this way, he wants to be a pure devotee or she wants to be a pure devotee, but there's still some material attachment, so they're not pure. They're not a pure devotee. It doesn't fit. Contemplate. These are the words of the Acharyas. So pure devotion starts at the stage of Madhyamadhikari. Read your Jiva Dharma. Vaishnav, Vaishnav Tara, Vaishnav Tama. These are all starting at the stage of Madhyamadhikari. Kanishtadhikari is not pure devotee. He's Pakrita Bhakta. Come to temple, offer a garland and say, Krishna, help my business. That's not a pure devotee. But the Madhyamadhikari, situated in Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of what pure bhakti is, and endeavoring, they're a pure devotee. Clear? You don't look convinced. Read your Jiva Dharma. Which Jiva Dharma have you got? The blue one. Yeah, that's the only good one. Well, it's the perfectly translated one, I can say that. So you read Jiva Dharma, the first section on the Dashamula. And just, I'm not making it up, you can be confident. If you want pure devotion, then you are a pure devotee. But you should have the proper conception. You understand? Like I said in the class, you should know Siddhanta. You know what is pure devotion? It's a hoitikiya pratyata. It's not motivated by material impetus.
Already pure devotees,
and
what is the role of Bhakti Devi?
To improve our bhakti. Everyone's improving, aren't they? Just like if we're already musician, that we stop practice. No, we keep practicing and we think, oh, I'm getting better. That's what devotees are doing eternally. They're realizing Krishna more and more eternally. Krishna is unlimited, ananta. So bhakti can increase unlimitedly with realization of the unlimited Lord. There's no end position of bhakti. Just like Prabhupada, such a great devotee. So his devotion and bhakti and realization of Krishna is also increasing eternally. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we shouldn't think, oh, there's like a bridge point, stuck. No. I'm stuck under the bridge, I can't go higher. No. Right, we'll finish at this point. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Devi Ki, Jai.